Good morning. Hello, my beautiful friend. I'm happy to be back with you on audio. Last week, I wasn't able to get it together when I was in San Luis Obispo. Oh, I realized I'm still talking with the music. Music is amazing, isn't it? I was just talking to someone. Okay, let me pause or, you know, quiet this down for a minute. This is, by the way, it's a group called Beirut. So beautiful. I was just talking to someone about how, I mean, it's interesting in life, you know, how different things are quick routes to our emotions. And I think music is one of them. Scent is another one. Obviously, visual. There's so many things. But I find it interesting. You know, I focus so much on speaking and the mind, and yet there's so many things going on at any given moment. And just that second that I turned on, I didn't really actually, sometimes I really give it some thought about what music I want to play. Today I just opened up. I think you guys know I have a playlist in iTunes called Feel Good / Hospice, because it's music that I love that speaks to different parts of my life or speaks to different parts of my heart. And I love sometimes like this, like just turning on this song brought back 1,000 memories. And I imagine if I'm lucky enough to live longer, I have lived long, I'm grateful for that. If I happen to live into a stage where actually at some point I'm in hospice, I imagine myself being able to listen to, how many songs are in here? I wasn't even going to talk to you about this, but it's open in front of me, and so it's on my mind. There are, I think, that's not telling me the number of them. But I think one time when I looked, there are over 300 songs now, which is really funny. 348. So my son likes to joke with me about this. I love him. I love his humor. First of all, he always says, how are you going to listen to these, you know, if you're old? He is such a, you know, he's 25. So to him, you know, he can't really fathom anything to do with, like, you know, really with old age. But we talk about it a lot because, of course, I talk about it a lot. How are you going to listen to all these with your old ears? And then he'll say, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to bring you your whole, like, desktop computer or you know, cause I only have it on my desktop because it's such a big file. Am I supposed to bring you your desktop, you know, computer and, you know, big old earphones? And what if they hurt your, yeah, I don't know. He's just funny. I don't know. I'm digressing already from what I wanted to talk to you about today. But isn't that isn't that one of the most wonderful things? I sent my Sunday Lovegram, if you read it last week, was about sort of, you know, a foundational thing for me, which is the pinpricks of light. And I had and have been going through a hard time. And it's funny, I hesitated when I said that as if it's like, you know, something you shouldn't talk about. Isn't that, that's so interesting. I've been going through a hard time, which is a part of life, you know. And I sent you an email about the pinpricks of light and how, and this is, you know, over and over again, 10,000 times, if not more, in my life, it's how I survive. And it gets me to a place. My son and I were actually just talking about this last night, which I guess is why this is coming up, because I was just talking about him, that something like this, something like opening up a feel-good / hospice playlist, even though, you know, I wasn't actually doing it because I was seeing it as a pinprick of light. I wanted to play you some music, but this is a pinprick of light. As soon as I open this up, there's a connection, and I wish I could put that word in a spotlight for you. There's a connection to me, you know? There's also a connection to almost everybody in my life in this, you know, I've never thought of doing this, but maybe I will at some point, that, oh, that's so interesting, that I could go through this list and make a tiny bit of like writing on, I could write, I could do that for the rest of my life. There's so many of these. Like, what is the story behind this song? Oh, that just dropped in and I love that. So even for me, like just opening up the file and I'm, as I'm talking to you, I'm just glancing at some of these songs. Mr. Mistopheles from the Cats play, that I had a cat named Mr. Mistopheles when I was in college. And I also read, oh goodness, who wrote, oh, my English literature days are, I can't grasp the, but you know, there's a book of poems that the Cats, Broadway play, was based on. I'm sorry, whoever that poet is. Ay, ay, ay. What a funny thing. Anyhow, somebody will know. You'll know. Or it doesn't matter. Anyhow, when I look at that, it both reminds me of my cat. It also reminds me of being in college and what a privilege it is that I didn't recognize at the time, I'm sorry to say, but that's all right. In retrospect, what a privilege it is to go to a university, to spend one's time, as I did. I mean, I was an English major and a writing, creative writing major, to spend one's time in immersed in literature. Like, wow. So I look at that one song and it it also brings up, I went through a very, very, very hard time while I was in college. Oh, it's kind of interesting. I guess this is what I'm going to talk to you about today, because the topic that I had doesn't seem to be coming forward. But what I was talking about, I sent an email yesterday. You may or may not have read it, of course, whatever. But it was a poem by my friend Rosemary Watola Tromer called You Belong. I have talked to her at different parts of my life. It's not up all the time, but at different parts of my life, there is this echo of, I'm not supposed to be here. Something went wrong. There was an error. There was some sort of clerical error wherever people come from. I mean, it's just, I'm laughing about it because that's where I am in the moment. It's not funny all the time. However, the reason I'm bringing it up is I went through a really difficult period in college of feeling absolutely like I did not belong. I looked around and I just, everybody around me felt, not everybody, I did have some close friends that, thank goodness, were my anchors. However, the majority of people that I saw seemed so light and so, you know, like many of you who went to college know, there's just a big focus on drinking and there's a big focus on, you know, sleeping around and there's just like, you know, and bless their hearts, right? It's like college. It's like young people, but I was never a young person in that way. I think I was born, you know, 40 years old already. Anyway, back to Mr. Mistopheles. When I look at that song, it reminds me, I had been in a sorority, deactivated, which is a very funny word, got my, this tiny little house by myself on the edge of campus. And I used to play this album from Cats and dance around the room. And it, you know, now in retrospect, right, that it's beautiful. That was my own pinprick of light that I didn't have that language for at the time. But it's like what gave me, and this is again what I was talking to my son about last night, what gives us that like temporary uplift that allows us to see the world differently for a moment. And I sort of in my mind see it as almost like turning toward the sun. Because it's like when things are hard for me, I feel like I've fallen into a pit and it's very dark and I can't see anything to hold on to climb out of, to, right? However, when I take, and literally sometimes it can be seconds or just minutes at the most, to where's the beauty? Where's the light? Is there something I'm curious about? Is there something that's sparkling? Is there a friend that it comes to mind? Is it like, is almost like just grasping, but when we get something in our hand that is that sparkle, that is that glimmer, that is that light, I keep turning my face. Funny, you can't see me because of course it's audio, but I turn my head toward the sun. And when I do that, other things are lit up, right? And again, you know, this is, again, I was saying this to my son. It's not like this instant, you know, transformation. Sometimes it is, actually. I shouldn't say that. Sometimes it is, but not always. Sometimes it's just the matter of like, oh, there's a stepping stone. I could walk right there, and that looks like that would be a safe place to be. And you know, my son was asking me last night, you know, he said, you talk about this all the time. Like, does it really work, right? Like, is that, and it was funny because I was laughing and I was saying, yeah, it's like, it's really why I'm still here talking to you. It's why you came into the world. It's why, you know, I exist still. That literally, for me, and I know people have many, many different practices, many, you know, ways of doing things. After my email yesterday, actually, this is a little digression, but it was interesting. After I sent an email about feeling the you know, this recurring thing that had come up again around like, oh my gosh, there was a mistake. I'm not supposed to be here. And that feeling of I don't belong. And then I got, you know, various different kinds of responses, of course, love and understanding and care and mixed in with that. Now, I mean, you know, and this is, of course, this is how people are. We all have different things. You know, mixed in with that are those sorts of messages like, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of thing, which is a coping mechanism. And it doesn't happen to be for me, and again, I want to keep saying for me, that can have a little bit of a glimmer of toxic positivity or spiritual bypassing. Those are two terms that have come into vogue because sometimes people don't want to feel things. And I'm not judging, you know, if there's anybody listening who reached out and maybe lives by that, please, you know, do what works for you. For me, and maybe it's because I'm a writer, maybe it's because I love poetry, maybe it's because I love process, I love healing things, not just trying to feel better in the moment. So it's like the pinprick of light is a tool to feel better in the moment, but it's not I'm going to pretend like all this other stuff isn't up for me right now. Personally, for me, I feel that it's very important to go through pain, especially when it's not especially when it's truly pain and not suffering, which in my practice, I know, again, this is people have various different kinds of feelings about this. In my practice, we do a lot of looking at story. So something might happen that's very painful. Easy example. My son was going through a really hard time. And when my son is going through a hard time, that hurts. That hurts me. That's a pain, right? And it's something I can sit with and feel like, you know, I can see is attached to my love for him. And, you know, and also it's attached to fear. And when that fear starts to turn into a story, oh my goodness, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Blah, 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 la, 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 la. You know, weaving or playing these like possible dark futures, that's suffering. That's different, you know. I don't think it's necessary to, you know, swim around in those like possible dark futures. However, I want to allow myself to feel that initial first pain. Right now, there's a big separation in my life from someone I deeply love, and that's pain. And I don't want to just pretend like it's not going on, although I do that a lot in my life. Just, you know, sometimes that's its own survival thing, but over the long term, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to permanently do that. Sometimes we need to do that. And sometimes, right, I feel like I'm talking about 20 different topics today. Hope that's okay. This is definitely one of my favorite things, is the discovery process. And you're here with me in it. We're creating something together, even though you're not in this room with me. If you weren't here, if you hadn't signed up to say, hey, I like to be on your LoveGram list, I wouldn't show up. And when I show up and I turn on the recorder and watch what happens, there, it's generative. Like today, there's been a number of things that were just dropping in from life, things that I didn't quote unquote think up, ways that I get to see, you know, what does support me? And you hopefully as you're listening get to see, you know, is that true for me? And some things I say may be true for you, some things I say may not, right? And that's that's the way it is, right? We're different people. However, I still hope that even when I'm talking about something and you're kind of like, that's not actually how I feel, that it helps illuminate for you who you are in the world, what supports you, how are you with the people you love, how are you with the person inside you that you love, right? Like, this is what we're doing. I say it over and over and over again. Thank you, Ram Dass, for that line. We are all just walking each other home. And to me, home is home to ourselves, home to where we feel we belong. It's also, you know, the long-term home. Like, we're all just walking, we're walking each other through this journey, and we support each other in the discovery process. I'm never certain, you know, well, you know, I shouldn't say that. Maybe sometimes I am, but it feels to me like when I show up with you, you're here with me to kind of like be curious. Oh, interesting. I play that song. Look what happens. Oh, look at that idea about writing stories about each of these songs so that when I'm older, that will be a really beautiful, you know, document to go along with these songs, right? Like, yeah. So what I want to say is thank you. Thank you so much. Again, if you hadn't been the kind of person to see Simply Celebrate and think, oh, that sounds interesting. If you hadn't signed up to be here, if you hadn't throughout the years, every once in a while, maybe you've sent me a note or we've connected. Maybe we haven't, but still, I know you're there. And wow, does that matter? Wow, you matter. Seriously, you belong. And we belong together. All right, I love you. Bye-bye.